好久不见了哈。
Long time no see。
我们五月的时候呢，传了两场的菩萨戒，一场在香港道场，一场在洛杉矶道场。
In May, we had two transmissions of the Bodhisattva precepts. One is upstate, at DDRC, and the other one is in LA.
所以我们回来的时候呢，其实两只脚都是肿的，因为实在是要站太久，整个包括演练的过程，不仅是戒指啦，还有法师们，每个人都是想尽办法，看要怎样让腿舒服一点。
So by the time we came back, most of us, our legs were all swollen, and that is because the length of time that one needs to stay standing is actually very long. So not only the people who are receiving the precepts, but also the Dharma masters, we were all trying all different means to try to make our legs more comfortable.
这个时候我就真的很想召见五蕴皆空啊，就可以像这些身体的这些这些觉受啊，可不可以就不会这么发的我。但是后来我发现真的可以，就说你不要太在意它，那反正腿还是很痛，但是就没有那么烦躁，那大家心就会比较安定一点。
So at times like this, it really makes me feel I want to be like the Bodhisattvas who can see all five aggregates as empty.And if I can do that, then the pains and discomfort wouldn't bother me so much. But then, as time goes on, I realize that, the pains are still there, but as long as I pay no attention to it, or at least not care so much about it, then somehow it becomes less bothersome and more bearable.
好，那这个呢，要怎么样照见五蕴皆空啊？要怎么样证得我们的佛性啊，其实就是进入我们的第二这个十轮经的第二品。好，十叫做十轮品。
So exactly how do we go about to be able to see all five aggregates as empty and also to become enlightened and realize our Buddha nature?That is the exact content of this second chapter, which is the chapter of the ten chakras.
那再次就是这部经就是世尊跟地藏王菩萨一搭一唱演出来的一部经，那最主要的重点是在这个从这个十轮品的这个十轮这个里面呢是展开出来的。
And as a recap, so the origination of the sutra is a back and forth questioning and answering between the Buddha and Chittagarbha Bodhisattva. And the most essential part of the sutra is this 10 chakras, 10 wheels.
Okay. 那话说这个世尊跟地藏王菩萨互相在第一品互相赞美赞美的非常的很深入的赞美之后呢，地藏王菩萨就第二品开始了他就问说，他就请教世尊，他说我可不可以问问题啊？那世尊说可以啊，你问我都回答这样子。
So in the first chapter, as you recall, it was very extensive.Praises of the Buddha and Chittagarbha Bodhisattvas going back and forth in a very extensive, in-depth way. And moving on to the second chapter, then Chittagarbha Bodhisattva raised the question, asking Buddha, can I ask some questions? And Buddha says, yes, you may ask questions, and I will answer it to the fullest.
所以请法的一个礼仪就是说你要先请问，说我可以问吗？然后你再来问那不会像有时候我们就会直接问师父说，师父这个那个那个这是比较不礼貌的，就是说师父我有一个问题可不可以请教你啊？师父说可以，因为他要看他的时间啊，看他各方面因缘，然后他就说可以，然后我们才可以问。
So the procedure, the proper procedure of asking question is first you have to ask the person, is that all right? Is that okay for me to ask a question at this time? And that is really the proper way of doing it versus nowadays, oftentimes we or us asking Shifu, Shifu, I have this question. What? And just you went ahead and just asked a question. But the right way should be first asking the master whether it's all right to ask a question, because depending on time and energy level, it may not be appropriate to ask the question at that time.
这是国兴法师一直跟我们分享哈。 当他是师父的司机的那一段时间，你们大概有人听过，他当师父的司机一段时间，对不对？那国兴法师很 好问，对不对？他有很多的问题要问，所以他想说师父在他车上跑不掉，对不对？那准备要 就一直问问题，然后呢他就说师父这样，然后师父就回答是什么，你知道吗？你再问我就换司机。
And so this time, Guoxing Fa Shi shared with us, and some of you may have heard the story before, that for a period of time, he was Shifu's chauffeur, driver. And as you know, Guoxing Fa Shi is someone who's very curious. He has a lot of questions. So in the car, he will often start asking questions. And the response that he received from Shifu is, one more question, I'm going to change my driver.
Okay, 好。那这个佛陀还是愿意回答 地藏王菩萨的问题，最主要是因为其实地藏王菩萨都知道，那他在帮我们问，因为我们不懂得怎么问，那一定要有一个高明的人士来帮我们问，我们才知道说哇，原来后面还有这么样的一个教理在义理在里面。好
So but here the Buddha was willing to answer Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's question. And the actual reason is Chittagarbha Bodhisattva, he knows all the answers already. He wasn't asking the question for himself. He's asking for our sake. And for us, because our knowledge is very limited, oftentimes we don't even know what to ask. So we need someone with a much higher level of knowledge to know the right, to raise the right question for us.
那地藏王菩萨怎么问哦？他说呢，我呢已经十三劫，十三劫以来呢，我很努力的修苦恨，然后呢，我又这个无边的供养，做了无数的供养，然后呢，我也参加过呢很多那个大集，这个经叫做大集，大圣大集，对，大集就是很多的会众在的叫大集，我会参加很多的大集会，然后来的人都是怎样呢？都是亲信众和合，都是亲近的和合众，来的人都是很亲近的，而且很和合的，大堆人的这种大法会，佛陀要讲大法的时候的大法会都是这样的一个状态。可是呢，这个大法会，这个大集会呢，来的时候是什么人你知道吗？都是呢，这个做无，叫他这边也讲，他说都常常处于无名的黑暗之中，然后呢常常就是重做十不善业道的，然后造忤逆罪，然后就毁谤正法，然后这个毁谤贤圣的这样的一个地方的人来啊，就是所谓我们讲的五浊恶世。他说在这样的一个环，我第一次参加这种集会，是来的人是这种人，然后他就有了四个非常重要的问题问佛陀。
So the Chittagarbha Bodhisattva then proceeded asking the question, saying that to Buddha, that Buddha, I've been practicing for 13 kalpas, the ascetic practice. I've made numerous offerings. I've attended many, many great assemblies where the participants of the Dharma assemblies were all people with pure faith and able to get together in great harmony. So I have done all these in the past, and I've never attended an assembly where the attendees in this particular assembly, that as you can see on the PowerPoint, that They are constantly dwelling in darkness of ignorance, and they embody the 10 unwholesome karma, and the participants have committed the 5 heinous crimes as well as slander the right dharma, defaming the sages and saints. I've never been in this kind of assembly before.
然后他说，那因为他自己发愿要度所有的众生成佛，然后他就说，这样的五浊恶世里面的众生要怎么度啊？其实他知不知道？因为他连地狱的众生都要度了，他现在说啊，这个五浊恶世这样这些这么染污的众生，我要怎么度？第一个问题。
And so because of that, he raised 4 significant questions, important questions to the Buddha. And the first question is, since I have vowed to deliver all sentient beings, so for people like this, this particular kind of sentient beings where they live in the evil world with 5 turbidities, how do I go about and deliver them?
那第二个问题又更深入了。他说云何破相许如金刚烦恼，就是说我们这一类的众生呢，那个烦恼如金刚这么坚硬，而且是相续不断的，一直持续，叫他停都停不住的，这样的烦恼的众生要怎么帮助他破这个烦恼的相续啊？
And the second question went even deeper, which is,How do we end this continuity of existence? And again, this continuity is very firm and strong, stubborn, like the Vajra diamond.
那这个相续就大有学问了。那在《楞严经》里面就讲得非常的清楚，我们有三种相续，就是说当我们的这个一念不绝的时候呢，就生三系六出嘛，国兴法师马上就要来了，所以礼拜一到礼拜五就要讲这种的，他就马上生三系六出，三系六出之后世界生成，就世界相续，就是这个整个世界我们看到的世界相续，然后众生相续，你我都是众生之一嘛，众生相续，然后呢业果就相续了，这样要怎么断？
So this concept of continuity is actually very profound. And there are 3 main types of this continuity that is listed in Surugama Sutra. And again, Guoxin Bashi is coming. He will be here tomorrow. He's actually going to go in depth to talk about Surugama Sutra. So first, because this continuity is referring to as soon as we give rise to delusion,losing the enlightened illumination, then it arises 3 subtle and 6 coarse marks of continuity, which event then subsequently leads to the continuity of the world, continuity of sentient beings, and continuity of karmic consequences. And so how do we break this continuity, which is very stubborn and very strong?
Okay. 那再接下来第三个问题，云何得种持果能如是人，意思就是说我们要有一个什么样的方法，那总持的意思就是总一切法，然后持无量意，那英文叫做 Dharani， 那这个总持任何一个法门都可以成为总持，但是我们要懂得修任何一个法门，把它修成念佛也可以是一个总持，持大悲咒也是可以是一个总持，那如果会修任何一个法门都是可以总持，它可以总一切法持无量意，那但是如果呢不会修的话呢，任何一个 法门都变成我们的烦恼。
The third question is how to obtain the Dharani to obtain forbearance of non-arising. So this is a question about methodWhat method do we use that will enable us to subsume all methods and to be able to understand and penetrate all meanings of Dharma? So, in truth, any kind of method can become one of such subsuming Dharma method. So any method can subsume all methods, as long as you know how to approach it and how to have the right understanding. But without the right understanding, any of the methods will become a cause of further additional vexations.
如果我们能够好把法门修得变成一个总持的时候呢，那就会怎样？我们就可以得到无生法忍。好，所以任何一个方法，它的目标就是要能够得到无生法忍。那无生法忍，顾名思义嘛，无生法，就是不生不灭，不起不什么，不落的，就是无来无去的。好，要能够认知这个世界，所有的一切法都是无生。好，这样的一个层次呢，这个方法才能够叫做总持。
So any of the methods can become a method that subsumes all dharma. And the ultimate goal of any of the methods that you practice is to obtain the forbearance of non-arising. The dharma of non-arising means there's no non-arising and no ceasing, no perishing, no rising and falling, and no coming and no going.So any methods that, as long as you're able to reach the state of obtaining this forbearance of non-arriving, then it is a method that can subsume all dharmas.
然后再来一个问题，蛮实际的哈。其实这真的是帮我们问的哈。云何处于众能开示佛轮？就是说，我们处在这些，我们也是了哈。就是说。我们处在这些无名的，我们大家都很无名哈，就是说，菩萨说要度众生嘛，他一定要到群众当中去度众生。那我们想要度众生，如何在这种染污，然后很刚强烦恼的众生当中呢，你能够不被影响，然后你还可以帮讲他的语言，让他懂佛法，这是不是很难？我们在家里哈，想要跟你的亲朋好友讲佛法哈，那他可能反过来说你，那五蕴皆空啊，吃肉有什么关系？好，对不对？他反而想来度你，哈，所以大家就来较劲一下，说看谁度谁哈。但是你如何在一群所谓的愚昧的这种，就是说没有这个正知见的人当中，然后你能够保持你的清净？然后呢，还可以跟他讲佛法。
The fourth question is a very practical question. How to handle ignorant beings and still be able to expound Buddha's Dharma? And again, this is the question that Chittigarbha Bodhisattva raised for our sake. And this applies to all of us as well, that not just the Bodhisattvas.That we are dwelling in this world that has a lot of ignorance and delusions. And how do we try to share the Dharma while still remain unpolluted or unaffected by the deluded views? Just take our homes as an example. Oftentimes we talk to our families and we try to explain to them. And sometimes they actually turn around and interrogate us.Asking, oh, you talk about all five skandhas are empty. Well, if that's the case, then why can't we eat meat? What's the problem with eating meat? So not only were you not able to expound the Dharma, but you were actually, it's more, almost like a duo where the two of you are going back and forth trying to get each other to come to your views.So the question is, how do we, in this kind of situation, this kind of settings, still be able to expound Dharma?
像我们大部分的人哦，真的都是什么，近朱者赤，近墨者黑嘛，物以类聚嘛，那比如说哈，有一次我回去出家的时候哈，前两年都是在厨房嘛，大寮煮饭嘛，每天都要煮200人吃的早餐嘛。那我们就很尽心尽力嘛，要服务大众，对吧？ 每天满脑子哈，跟常义法师就想说明天要出什么菜哈，列菜单，然后就要然后分菜要多少，这个退量要抓多少，每天都在思考这个。到有一天哈，每一个寮就南寮的比丘，女寮的比丘尼会来载菜嘛哈。有一天南寮的那个载菜的比丘来退菜的时候，就很好奇，他忍不住就问我说：“法师，你以前是做这个的吗？”然后我就看他说，我就问他说：“你是说什么意思？”他是以为我以前是做厨师的，不是做这个餐饮业的啦哈。然后我当下就五味杂陈，我想说这样是好还是不好？就说我很尽心尽力的哈，这样每天这样煮饭，对，煮到很 professional， 人家以为我是以前是做这一行的。那可是我想说，哎，我刚从学校出来，难道我不应该像一点像 scar 像学者吗？对不对？哈，我是刚从学校出，都在学校一辈子都在学校，然后就去出家。我想说奇怪，我为什么没有比较像学者，像这个？然后国行法师就说啊，这没有什么了不起的啦。他出家的时候是被师父派去什么监工，那个农禅寺在盖那个铁皮屋嘛，他去监工，他看不下去，干脆自己下去做。做到有一天，师父跟他说：“国行，你越来越像工人哦。”然后我就忽然警觉到说，我们很容易做什么像什么，这很容易，但是你要能够做什么又像是一个法师，不容易。
So it's very common. It's actually very easy for us to become whatever we are. We have closer proximity to, or whatever we do. There's a saying in Chinese that when you're closer to the red color, then you pick up the pigments, the taint of the redness.And similar with ink, when you're closer to darkness, then you pick up the ink color. It's a specific phrase. So, using myself as an example, when I first became
novice postulant,
when I first became a novice, for the first 2 years, I worked in the kitchen, and every day we have to serve 200 people, you know, cooking a breakfast for 200 people. And so at that time, I was very diligent. So every day, with Chang Yi Fa Shi and me, the two of us were put our heads together, tried to come up with a menu, thinking about the proportion and how to distribute the dishes, etc. So after a while, and then these dishes are then distributed to the monks, the male side,
the monks' quarter
and the nuns' quarter. And then one day, from the monks' quarter, a Fashi came to me, after giving back what was uneaten. And he asked me this question that I'm saying that I'm very curious, asking me that, did you ever work in the food industry? And that was a question. And my feeling was very conflicted. It was a very mixed feeling. So I didn't quite know how to feel about it, because on the one hand, is it a compliment that I'm very professional, that I've done such a good job that now I look like someone who worked in the food industry? On the other hand, I just came out of school. I spent years studying, completing my PhD, years of studying. And so should I look like someone who has worked in the food industry? Shouldn't I retain some of my scholarly look? So I didn't know how to feel about it. And later on, Guo Xing Fa Shi explained and saying that, that's nothing. When I first became a monk, Shifu sent me to Nongchan Monastery. And at that time, I was in charge of overseeing the building of some housing quarters.
Constructions.
And I was so involved that eventually I pick up a hammer and screws and I start working at it myself. But then Shifu then one day asked me that, you are becoming more and more like a construction worker. And that was a wake up call for him. So for thinking about using that case and thinking myself, I think it's really easy for us to pick up traces or become what we do. So how do I balance between at the same time do you know fitting into the role of what I'm doing, but also retaining my my role of being a Dharma master?
所以后来哈，我发现其实这是我们每一个佛教徒需要修养的哈，是说我们来自不同的家庭背景，好社会背景。教育背景，好，那我们也很可能因为我们的业报，我们可能有钱没钱，很有钱很有地位没有地位，这种社会的这个不同的这种层级，好，有时候明眼人一看就看得出来。可是呢，我们要做到什么？不管我们在任何一个社会阶层，然后我们自己的因为内心的羞耻，它不会变成那一类众生的习气。像有钱人有没有有钱人的习气？好啊，没钱的嘞，就这样啊，就穿衣服也不注重嘛，脏脏的哈。就说就是我们要想办法，就是我们不要成为有钱人或是穷人，也不要成为富贵的人、高贵的还是贫贱的人，我们要成为一个是什么？有修养的人。那这个时候呢，你今天不管你是怎么样的一个，你的福报是怎么样，但是不会影响你内心世界的这个什么的高贵。这是最重要的。那它会表现在我们的身口意上面，而不是表现在我们的穿着、打扮，还有开什么车住什么房子上面，还有交什么朋友上面。那你如果可以跟乞丐互动，而且是那种很纯洁的这种有 beneficial 的这种互动，那才是我们真正弘扬佛法的一个方式。
So I reflected upon at this further, andWell, the conclusion that I came to is that it's actually a very important lesson for all of us Buddhists to practice, that we all came with different kinds of backgrounds, family backgrounds, societal backgrounds, education backgrounds, different status. And each type of status has its intrinsic or sort of inherent, different class of people have sort of a karmic patterns they exhibit.So, for instance, maybe rich people who are wealthy may be more arrogant, or people who are poor of blue collar then tend to be, feels more shabby and bows down more easily. So our goal should be that we should avoid picking up these habits from different types of people.And instead of striving to become someone who's wealthy or with high social status, we should become someone with inner strength, or that we cultivate innerly. And that should be our defining characteristics. So regardless of our blessings or merit or which kind of conditions we are in, our goal should be we are someone who's practicing. And this aspiration should manifest not in terms of the clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the place we live. It actually manifests in the way we talk, our body, mind, and speech. So if you are able to interact with anyone or even just with beggars on the street in a very pure and mutually beneficial way, then that should be... the way that we should be, the goal that we should be striving for.
好，那以上哈，我只是总结这四个大问题。好，地藏王菩萨问世尊的这个四个大问题，那佛呢还先赞美他一下哈。那你要是问问题哈，那个回答的人还会赞美你，表示这个问题是蛮好的哈。佛就先赞美地藏王菩萨说：“太好了，你问这个问题哈。”这个其实你都已经知道了，但是呢，这个其实就是什么？ 其实就是帮助众生如何呢？从烦恼的众生怎么成佛？好，那这个问题，因为这个问题呢，佛回答他说呢，有十轮。好，那为什么叫轮呢？轮的特性是什么？它可以转，对不对？好，好的转成什么？就是它要转，就是坏的转好的。那缓好的是什么？超越了嘛？好，它就是可以转。我们常常有的时候啊，有的人会去算命，是想要什么转运，对不对？我有不好的命运，我想把它转掉哈。那这个它这个十轮就是要把怎么样？刚刚地藏王菩萨问，怎么样从凡夫烦恼的众生转成佛？啊，轮还有一个功能是什么？它可以行走，它不是在原地打转而已哦。他还会走嘛，你要度化众生嘛，所以呢他就用，他是那个平行的，用王轮，就世间法，如果你当一个王啊，一个国家的王，你要怎么样做啊？如果是佛轮，就是说如果你要成佛的话呢，你要怎么做？好，那他是这个这篇蛮长的，这也是主要的重点，就是说佛陀先，世尊先用世间法怎么样当一个王，好，然后另外一个是怎么样成佛，一个叫王轮，一个叫佛轮，好，然后来做比较，来解释给我们听。
So Chidgarbha Bodhisattva asked these four questions, and the Buddha turned around and praised him for his questions.So if you're able to raise questions and the person that you raise question to actually praises you, that shows that, hey, these are pretty good questions. And the ultimate point or purpose of raising this question is to help sentient beings from a state of vexation and eventually reaching Buddhahood. So the Buddha then said, the way to do it, there are 10 chakras, 10 wheels,why is wheel used as an analogy here? What are the characteristics of wheels? One is that it turns. So it has the ability to turn something bad into something good. And what if it's already something good, then you further transcend that into something even better. So a lot of people, when they are down, they go to fortune tellers, asking for information, hoping their goal,oftentimes is to turn and to change the situation. But here, these 10 chakras will indeed help us turning from someone who's vexed sentient beings into the ways of Buddhahood. And the second characteristic of wheel is that it moves forward. It doesn't just spin at the same place. It actually promotes motion, getting to somewhere. And again, it's going from,this path of being a vexed sentient beings into Buddhahood. And when the Buddha started explaining these 10 chakras, the organization of his argument is parallels. First, he talks about the 10 chakras of kinghood, becoming a king, and then relating that to the ways, the chakras of the wheels of attaining Buddhahood, becoming a Buddha. So this whole chapter 2, is actually quite long, but it is also the essence of this entire sutra.
好，那第一王轮，黄色的是王轮，就是 king。他说呢，如果一个国家，他的王就是虚位的，没有人当王，就是王忽然暴毙往生，没有人当王的时候会怎样？如果这时候没有接班人的时候会怎样？一个国家没有总统，或是一个古代嘛，一个帝国没有君王的时候会怎样？会里面会乱啊，外面呢，外面的人就要来攻打你，想要占有你的土地，占有你的财富了嘛，就是然后里面大家会乱啊，比如你这一派他这一派的嘛，大家都想要得王位，对不对？就会打仗嘛，就以前中国不是有军阀嘛，国家太大也不行， 大家就是好，你要有一个很 powerful 的王来统治这个国家，但是请问王位的人选要怎么选？好，那是第二个问题。
So the first one is the king chakra, the throne of a king. So the first Buddha first explained. So what happens if there's a vacancy of the throne? Say if the early king suddenly died, then what would happen? Usually internally some sort of riots or chaos would ensue with different parties fighting, vying for the throne. Whereas externally, because you become weak, then other countries will want to invade you to take away your land. So, that's what happens when there's a vacancy of the throne.
至于这个王位的人选，我们一般人这个不会遇到这个问题，因为我们都不是国王或是皇室家族的人。但是呢，我们现在选总统，对吧？选总统要选什么样的人呢？当然了，首先我听说那个现在那个英国的 Queen Elizabeth II 对不对 ?Second 嘛，他其实是那个忘了他爸爸叫什么 ,King 什么的哈。George 吗 ?King George 哈。他其实他还有一个儿子，他有一个哥哥，然后在 King Queen Elizabeth II，Second 哈，应该查一下。就是说，他当时是这个他当上位的原因，好像是他的哥哥好像会在大众中讲话会有口疾，这样就不适合当国王嘛。就说你面对大众群臣百官的时候呢，你会有口疾还是怎么样？那我们古代中国皇帝选一大堆太子，对不对？你会不会第一个是长相，你会不会选一个比如说有残障的？不会吗？一定是选相好庄严的嘛，所以王位人选一个要相好庄严，第二个要有德有才，有德恨爱民，然后要有才什么才能啊，不是财富的才，才能，你要琴棋书画什么都会嘛。那我们现在选总统希望也怎样，站出来也要有个样子，像现在 Trump 站起来这么高，就很有气势，很有那个国王的样子，就是又他们家族的又高又大，长相又很庄严，对，站起来就很有样子嘛。然后呢这个有没有德，我不知道，有没有才，他一定有相当的才能，不然他们家族企业怎么经营嘛。那姑且我们就不论说到底谁对谁错了，反正他总是反正就这样选，所以要有一个标准选出一个总统。那一样的王位人选也是要经过挑选的嘛。
And the second step has to do with filling the candidacy of the throne. And these days, because most of us, we're not part of the royal family, so we don't face this issue,But maybe the election of a president shares some similarities with filling the throne with the right candidate. I vaguely recall that the current Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, the memory was a little vague that the king, his, her father is probably is King George, andSo this is what I heard, that King George actually has another son who was in line for the throne. But the reason he wasn't chosen was because this son of King George stuttered when he speaks to the public. So this reminds me of in ancient China, when they are choosing the crown prince, the first thing is considering the appearance of that person.A person should not have any kind of deformity or be handicapped in any way. So the appearance is important. And then the virtues and ability of the person is also a strong factor in altering the considerations of the king. So similarly, these days, when we choose president, perhaps we follow similar criteria. So let's take President Trump for example, he's very tall. So when he stands in public, he stands out. So that's his appearance. As for virtue, I'm not going to comment about it. It's a question, we don't know yet. But there also must be some sort of talent. He must have ability. Otherwise, the family would not have thrived the way it had. As to this person's qualification, that's, we're not going to dwell on that. But, so the selection, but this is just a way for us to see that the selections of president actually also follow all these different kinds of criteria.
但我刚刚讲的那是古时候的标准哈，因为古时候的价值观，就是我们用那时候的价值观，我们去挑我们认为最好的人哈，当我们的领袖嘛哈。那我们现在的大家说，法师你不可以歧视什么什么 handicap 哈。不是啊，就是那个要怎么讲啊，残障人士哈。我说，可是你看，我们现代的人的价值观是什么？黑人可以当总统吗？那美国总统就黑人，不能讲黑人，叫做什么啊？你看现在讲话都要很小心哈。好，亚非裔，好，可以吗？可以的哈。那我对我们现代的人的标准来讲，这个外观不重要。内德很重要，好，反正我们一定要，我们要挑一个我们当代所有的人认为这个可以是一个我愿意听他，我愿意 follow 他的这个人，好，来当这个王，然后他就登基，一登基就要怎样昭告天下，此地的国王是谁，你们不要乱来，而且他很有能力，好，你不要来欺负我们，好。就是等于是用这个方式，就是说，那我们的所有的百姓呢，也就是我们有一个大家长，好，就不怕别人来欺负嘛，哈，那他一定会想办法保护我们，好，那就是这就是你如果想要当国王，第一步骤哈，先登王位哈。
So the examples I gave you was from the ancient times. So at that time, they have their particular value systems. So maybe some of you heard what I just said and say, oh.法师, you should not have bias against people with who are handicapped. Again, that I was just giving an example of the selection criteria in the past. These days, we have a new set of value system in selecting our president. So these days, can African American become president? Yes.
And women too.
And women as well can become president. So now this day and age, perhaps people are not so concerned about the external appearance of the person. And hopefully we will focus more on the inner virtue of the candidate. So that's each different time period has different sets of selecting criteria. So after the throne has been filled by the candidate and a new king has been selected, then the third step is...propagating and announcing to all the neighboring countries that now we have a new king, this new king is very capable, etc., so that the neighboring countries will know not to invade the country anymore. And also the people of the nation will know that now we have a king, we have someone watching over us. So this is the first of the king chakra. The first step is first to ascend the throne and become a king.
好，那佛轮呢？好，是这样的。为什么我们的五浊，我们这个娑婆世界的教主是谁？释迦牟尼佛就是这里的世尊。好，为什么是他呢？然后世尊就解释说，在我们这个五浊恶世，这个娑婆世界这个五浊恶世里面呢，是没有佛住世的。佛都在 Pure Land 嘛，哈。就是西方极乐世界东方极乐世界什么相继国这样子。那这个五浊恶世没有佛的时候会怎样？那邪说那个邪教一大堆，然后大部分的人都是彼此堕落，烦恼越来越重，他又不知道怎么 defend 自己。 你即便想要让自己清静一点，周围的人都跟你说不用啊，不用啊，没有关系啦，喝酒啦，这个纵欲没有关系啦，反正今朝有酒今朝醉嘛，啊，这一辈子结束就没了嘛， 那你为什么不好好的享受一下呢？哈，他就会有一些奇怪的论点，一直告诉你，然后影响你，哈，然后就是让大家一起堕落这样子，哈。
So relating that to the first Buddha chakra, appointing a Buddha. So the world that we live in is the world with five turbidities, and so according to the Buddha, but then our Buddha is Shakyamuni Buddha, and according to him, initially in this world, evil world of five turbidities, the Buddha land is empty without a Buddha, and in situations like that, all sort of false sayings or teaching are sprouted there, and people are filled with vexations. And even if you do want to practice and want to do something better, you don't really know how to defend yourself against all these false teaching that people will tell you, it's okay to drink alcohol, it's okay to let your desires run amok and do whatever you wish, because this is the present life, there's no future lives, it's okay to do whatever, you should enjoy your present life. So those are all false views. So in the world of, with five turbidities, that's a kind of teaching that is that permeates the world.
那这个时候呢，就要想办法哈 ，assign 一尊佛进来了哈。就是其实哈，释迦牟尼佛也不是现在成佛的哈，然后还有很多佛嘛哈，但是他们就想说。一个娑婆世界总不能有很多佛嘛，就是好，大家推举哈，那所有的菩萨摩诃萨哈，就大菩萨，大家一次推举说，释迦牟尼佛你最厉害，你跟他最有缘，然后长相好，庄严啊哈，然后这个又有很多这个对于这个空性啊哈，然后还有对于怎么度众生的方便法啦哈，各方面你都是最优秀的哈，然后大家就说你去吧。你去当这个无作恶事的这什么教主、哦、所以师尊就来了在这边当教主，然后他就登仙佛、哦、他登诸就是以先前的诸佛的座、哦、他不是说他不是第一尊成佛的、哦哦、所以他就说、哎、他就登诸佛位，就是他代表诸佛、哦、那我们呢不能说、哎、我觉得释迦牟尼佛比较厉害，然后有人就说不是啦，是阿弥陀佛比较厉害，有人说觉得西方那么东方琉璃世界、哦、比较殊胜，这都是我们凡夫的分别，他们都是一样的，只是、哦、世尊是被推的代表、哦、代表说你去五浊恶世、哦、当教主、哦啊、其实这个工作是蛮 tough 的、哦、
So at such times of five turbidities, then it's crucial for us to have a leader, to have a Buddha. So the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas got together and they have to assign someone to come to this world to help the sentient beings. And so they all of them nominated Shakyamuni Buddha. And Shakyamuni Buddha didn't just become Buddha in our world. He was already a Buddha. And all these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas said that, oh, Shakyamuni Buddha, you are most fitted for this job because one, your appearance is magnificent, and you also know all these expedient means, and you have deep understanding of the Buddha nature, the nature of emptiness, and you seem to have most affinities with the sentient beings in this world, so you should go. And so Shakyamuni Buddha then took up on the appointment and descended to this world. And he wasn't the first Buddha in this world. So you can see the third bullet point that says he was seated in the seats of previous Buddhas. So Shakyamuni Buddha came to this world representing all the Buddhas before him and all the Buddhas of his time. And so sometimes people would argue about which Buddha is better, saying Shakyamuni Buddha is better, or someone else would then say, no, Amitabha Buddha is better, or so-and-so Buddha is better. And that is actually quite silly, because all the Buddhas are essentially the same. So in any way, Shakyamuni Buddha was appointed to our world to expound on the teaching, and the job he has in front of him is actually very tough.
所以为什么叫做灯先诸佛所夫之座，意思就是说不管谁坐这个位置，他要教的都是怎么样，那个佛要教的东西，他不会说自己去 create 一个什么东西。那方便法有不同，每一个佛菩萨他接引众生的方便法各有不同，可是要教的最高的那个教义是一样的。好，
Another significance for this third point seated in the seat of previous Buddha is that the teachings of all Buddhas are essentially the same. So they're not creating anything out of brand new. All the Buddhas are trying to get across the same message. The most supreme teaching is the same, even though they may have different expedient means to get the message across.
好，我们这个月哈，月底我们法鼓山要选方丈和尚了哈，那已经传言很多了哈，很多人说法师我知道是谁，好，那我们就说哇你们好厉害，我们法师都不知道是谁，然后你们都知道是谁哈，然后呢大家，然后我们法师也在讨论哈，好几个月前大家就不同阶级的不同层这个族群的法师开会就讨论说我们需要一个什么样的方丈和尚，大家就讨论嘛，哇越讲越讲越多，我们要这样，又要懂禅修，又要体证，然后又会讲经，又要会关怀，还要这样那样，讲到后来大家说好像没有一个人符合这个标准，除了师父之外，那大家说讲这个标准这么高，大家都没有人敢做方丈和尚，但是我们还是要推举一位出来，对不对？那后来我们就比较管他去的，谁都一样，因为你这个方丈和尚选出来，你要坐谁的位置，你要坐师父的位置，那你要掌握的是师父的什么理念，然后师父的教法，不是你的教法跟你的理念，所以你今天被选出来的方丈和尚就是坐在这个位置上，就是继续 continue 法鼓山的什么理念跟禅法，教育的理念跟禅法，还有汉传佛教的这个方向，谁坐在那边都一样，大家会看着嘛，所以后来我们就比较放下，没关系，只要一个人坐上去就行了，总不能我们法鼓山没有方丈和尚嘛，一定要一个人坐上去，然后呢我们就推一个可以这个代表我们的坐上去之后呢，就要 carry on 的是师父的 mission， 我们法鼓山的 mission 跟师父的禅法。
At the end of this month, at Dharmadhar Mountain, we are going to elect a new Abbot President. So there has been rumors going around for months among the lay people, and oftentimes people will come to me and say, hey, Fashi, I know who's going to be the new Abbot. And I will then, new Abbot President. And I will wonder to myself, really? We don't even know among ourselves, the monks and nuns. We don't even know. How would you know? So not only among the lay people,lay practitioners, but also among the Sangha, the monks and nuns, we also internally have our own little groups. People are having discussions about what kind of people we need to be our leader. And so the discussion initially went like, we need someone with a deep understanding of Chan and needs to have actual realization experience, substantial experience of Chan.We also need someone who will care for other people and who's good at expounding Dharma. The list went on and on. After a while, we realized that no one can fit the bill other than Shi Fu. Our qualification became too tough. So at the end of this whole discussion, we realized that we came to this consensus that it's all right. It doesn't really matter who becomes the Abbot President, really.Because ultimately, the person who becomes the Abbot President would have to carry on the missions of Shi Fu, Shi Fu's missions, as well as Shi Fu's teaching of Chan, of Chinese Chan Buddhism. So they are not creating anything brand new. They have to carry on the mission of Dharmadhar Mountain. And so it doesn't really matter because all of us will be watching and supporting that person. So whoever it becomes, as long as that seed is filled by someone, then that person will carry on Dharma Dharma Mountain's missions. That will be, everything will be all fine.
好，那第二轮哈，这我们现在又 switch 到国王来了哈。那国王哈，王子选出国这个接班人哈，国王选这个接班人出来登基以后呢，他要开始做什么事？要治理国家了嘛哈，因为这个国事如麻，有听过吗？整一个国家的事情很多的哈，所以他开始要治理国家。那他要有一个智慧哈，他要观察过去、现在跟未来，他还要看到未来哦哈。你呢？看看这个国家的过去、现在跟看看他的未来，那你觉得什么地方要改，什么地方不能改？好，然后你还要观察什么因果报治，好，就是观察这个因果之间的关系，还有我们的业报，还有什么？请关手机哈。还有就是什么？这现在是大家的礼貌哈，只要一进来 gathering 哈，就是只要进去一个公众场合，大家就要想办法怎样关静音，要不然就关手机哈。现在变成是一个礼貌了。那就是要你要观察怎么样因果报治，就是一些事项的因果关系。好，比如说如果你是在非洲，你在营运非洲这个国家跟营运美国这个国家就不一样，因为它的什么，它的资源，它的这个农产作物，好，生活方式不一样，好，就因果还有报嘛。那治是什么？还有当地的治，人民的智能。好，就是说比如说你是那个非洲这个什么族哈，就是还不会用 iPhone 的。好，你不可以说我们以后所有付钱全部用啊什么用手机配钱哈，还叫 Uber， 不会叫 Uber， 会叫马。好，你就不可以你不可以说我要用现代最尖端的科技哈来治理这个国家。Sorry。这里的人都不晓得，也不能买不起 smartphone 嘛哈。那如果说你到一个你，比如说就不要讲说国家好了，你在光美国，好，你去那个 San Francisco area， 好，跟你去 Oklahoma， 他们那里的人学习方式就不一样，那整个人这个整个社会的运作方式就不一样哈，一个非常 high tech， 好啊，一个还是农作物的地方。所以你就是必须要了解，一定要是随其所应，你不可以强迫他太多，你可以 push 他 upgrade 一点点，但是你不可以强迫这个地方的人然后做什么样重大的改变不适合他们。这个呢是以我们现代社会来讲，常常一个大企业的空降部队 CEO 空降进来，有没有最大的机会？就是你还不了解这个公司的过去、现在跟未来的方向，也没有观察到这边这个组织的文化、人与人之间的关系，还有这个组织里面所有员工的一种智能哈，跟他们的改变的这个弹性哈。然后你一进来就这个什么抱负就什么满满，然后你就什么金冠上任三把火哈，然后最后 out 的是谁？就是这个空降部队的 CEO。 所以就是说你要当一个国王也一样，你登基的时候你一定要先了解这些之后，然后你再开始做治国，治理你的国家。那有三个项目。
So we're coming back to the kingly chakras, and the second chakra is national affairs. So after you have a person has become the kingand ascended the throne, then what comes next? You have to actually do things, have to govern the country, rule the country. And so then in the sutra, it said that in order to do so, you need to first examine the ways of the country in the past, in the future, and also in the present, in order to learn and figure out how to govern the country. Not only so, you have to observe and examine the causes, the results, the conditions, as well as the abilities or wisdom, intelligence of your people, in order to figure out what is the most appropriate ways to govern this country. So let's just take Africa versus the U.S. As an example. Do you use the same way? Do you promote the same policies in both countries? No, you can't do that, right? Countries in Africa have very different needs than countries than in the U.S. They have different resources, different agriculture. People live in different ways and different kind of culture. And people also have different ability sets. So you can go to some remote countries in Africa and then say, or some tribal countries, and that says that then everybody have to start using iPhone and everything, all the commerce will from this point on be conducted through Apple Pay or electronic payment. They don't use Uber. And so instead of getting Uber, they actually get a horse to carry their stuff. So the technology is different. Not even just between countries, but even just between states or between different cities within the United States. San Francisco is very different than Oklahoma City, that people have different ways of learning. One is very technology heavy, whereas the other one, the main driving force of that city is still agriculture. So you really have to observe closely and govern according to the conditions and abilities of the people. Maybe you can do a little bit of upgrade, but you shouldn't try to change things too drastically. Oftentimes, CEOs of companies that's hired externally, one of the gravest mistakes one can make is they come into a new company wanting to do something, make their mark. So without first trying to realize the culture, the corporate culture of the company or the relationship between people or what are the strengths and weaknesses of the employees, they try to change everything too much all at once. And who's the one who ultimately fails? That CEO.
然后在治理国家的这个部分，在这部经里面就讲到三个方向，是一定要做的。 第一个是建立帝王业伦，也就是说你要保护你的疆土，所以你要教你的百姓怎么战斗。当别人要来攻击你，要来侵略你的土地的时候，你要怎么保护你自己的疆土？就像即便是现在科技发达，人家不用攻到你的边境来了。 人家只要把那个核子弹瞄到你的主要的城市的时候，你就要 do something 了，对不对？就像我们的这个哪一个北韩是吧？北韩他就一直试爆那个核武器嘛。那他又还没有真正去攻到别人，对不对？可是他一直在试爆的时候，大家就要出声音了，对不对？你为什么要试爆？你想要攻击哪里，对不对？ 所以你一定要有能力保护自己的疆土，这是第一个。So
there are three essential things one has to do in order to govern a country. First is to study about battles and fightings, to establish an army or methods to protect your boundaries. So these days, with technology, oftentimes the armies don't even have to come to your country as long as they can shoot, launch some sort of nuclear missiles. Then you already have to figure out what is your plan in that kind of situations. So take North Korea, for example. Even though they haven't aimed at anyone, but they have already been conducting a lot of a lot of testing of their nuclear bombs. This becomes a threat for all the other countries. So before anything really happens, the other country have to come in and censor and question what is the motive behind what the North Korean government is doing.
好，那第二个呢，就说好，我们的疆土都保护好了，对不对？那大家不能就坐在里面等着老天下米下面面包下来嘛。你就要第一个，你要有田宅，就是说你要有房屋能够 这个躲雨嘛，哈，起，就说你要能够保护你的身体了，哈，那你就要有房屋能够保护你的身体，所以就要教大家怎么盖农舍啦，盖房子，然后你不能又坐在房子里面，你会饿死，然后又要教大家什么财宝业轮，就是说要能够种田啊，要能够经商啊，哈，要能够有物资可以维持生命，好，这是三个最基本国王要做的，就是保护你的疆土，然后让人民每个人都身体哈都有房屋可以保住，然后有饭可以吃这样。
And then after the boundary has been secured, then people don't sit within this boundary doing nothing, waiting for the sky to rain rice or to rain bread or not. You actually have to do something to create a living for the people.So the boundary, the country, the nation is protected. Now the physical body of the people needs to be protected. So then you have to teach them how to build houses to protect their physical body. And then what? They don't sit inside the house. Again, you have to teach your people to, do agriculture or engage in all sorts of commerce or different kinds of craftsmanship in order to nurture, to earn a living and nurture their bodies.So these are the three basic things a king has to do to first protect the boundary and then to help people protect their physical body and then also provide a means for people to earn a living.
这三项哈，也是未来哈，我们现在准备要去哪个星球啊？你们知道吗？现在哈，很多的国家哦，如火如荼的哈。可能有敏锐度知道地球未来百年之后的危机吧，哈，百年几百年的危机也是很快的啦，哈，两三个 generation 就到了嘛，哈，可能地球也是有它的危机存在，所以现在每个很多的国家只要能够有能力的哈，就开始要找最有名的就是 Mars 嘛，哈，啊，再去找有没有类似地球的星球，我们人类可以住的嘛，哈。一样啊，你要去辟拓疆土嘛，齁，找一个可以住的地方，然后呢想办法要在那个星球要盖房子，里面还要有很多什么压力啊，氧气，对不对？这什么，然后呢你又不能说只有住在那边空房子，你也得想办法在那个星球能够看能不能齁制作食物啊什么之类的，这一样同样的问题，搬到别的星球一样遇到这三个问题。
These three guidelines don't only apply to governing a country, a nation, but it actually applies to expanding the territory. So currently there are already lots of countries exploring other planets as a place for
habitable planets
for human beings because the earth is not in such great conditions and there are dangers and risks that's coming up maybe in a couple hundred years and that's not even very long, maybe just 2-3 generations away. So different countries are already actively exploring and trying to find ways to explore their territory and to be able to move human beings to different planets.And maybe Mars is one of the more well-known ones. But similarly, once you find the planet that's suitable, you also have to first set up the boundary, making sure it's habitable by human beings by creating an atmosphere, making sure there's enough oxygen, etc. And then afterwards, creating housings on that new planet, as well as finding ways to sustain the people who move there, by generating food.So these three guidelines also applies for into the future as well.
好，那我们就要讲到佛陀佛轮了哈。那我们佛教徒佛来这个世间哈，当世尊教主的时候呢，那他的教化事业哈，他现在就不是这个治国事业了哈，他是教化事业是哪三个 scope 呢？也类似，但是同样的问题。当这个世尊来到这个娑婆世界的时候，他还是要观察，好，这个五浊恶世的众生，他过去、未来跟现在，好，是怎么样的一个状况？然后他的因果报智，他所受的因果报智是什么样的层次？然后他才可以开始他的教化事业。哈，比如说我们 地球人类的智能哈、哦，是算高还低？好，我们觉得自己蛮高的哈、哦，然后但是哈、哦，不要讲佛陀了，外星人都觉得我们可能还算是很低的哈、哦。所以呢，就说哎，佛陀因为他很就近的嘛哈，哎，看看说哎，这个世间的人哈、哦，那他如果是去西方极乐世界客座的话呢，那里的人就善根比较厚了嘛，那我们这边善根就比较不那么接受度就没那么高了，所以他就要观察，然后开始呢三种教化面向要开始了。
Now let's turn to the Buddha chakras, and the second Buddha chakra is about Dharma teachingAnd so the Shakyamuni Buddha came to this world of five turbidities and have to expound the teaching. And he also works in parallel. There are three scopes that's encompassed in this second chakra. So with Shakyamuni Buddha, he had to first also examine the ways of the people and of the world, and looking at closely at the causes and conditions as well as the karmic results.And the abilities or wisdom of the people he has to deal with. So, I don't know, the people here, do we consider ourselves, what kind of wisdom do we have? We may think quite highly of ourselves, but perhaps from the views of Buddha or from the views of other aliens from other countries, other worlds, we think that our intelligence or our wisdom is actually quite primitive.So if Buddha goes to the Western Pure Land, the kind of people he speaks to would have higher intelligence and wisdom versus people in our world, maybe our root isn't as astute. So the Buddha then will also have to observe the sentient beings closely to figure out the best way to approach and to expound the teaching. And then following that, there are also three aspects of the way.Three scopes that, in which he would conduct and teach the sentient beings.
好，第一个，好，刚刚记得前面国王要做什么？保护他的疆土，对不对？不要被侵犯，不要被掳掠，哈，好，那我们身为佛教徒，我们的疆土在哪里？西方。我们的疆土是我们的心，对吧？哈，你不能被外面染污啊！里面有什么？就外忧内患，对吧？哈，如果我们用一个疆土来比喻，你有外忧跟内患嘛？哈，外面敌人打你，里面会不会自己打？好，内乱嘛？好，是一样的道理，就是说。我们佛教徒佛教化事业说我们要保护我们的疆土，就是我们的心不可以被外面的诱惑染污，然后也不能被内部的烦恼什么淹没、哦、这叫修什么？修定。唯有修定才可以保护我们的这一片心、哦、那当然啦、啊、这片心在哪里啊？好、哦、来这个马上楞严经又要七处真心哈、哦，这个佛陀问阿难说：“你的心在哪里呀、哦？”他讲了七种，好厉害哦！我们大概也只能讲个两三种，他讲了七处真心嘛，很有名的哈、哦。心在内还是在外，还是在中间，还是怎么样？哈哈，那就要靠我们的修持了哈、哦。那像我们呢，凡夫都觉得心在里面嘛，哦，我的心被受伤了，这样哈。但是呢，到佛陀的心在哪里？遍虚空哦，尽法界，尽虚空，遍法界哈、哦。所以你，然后你到最后不用保护的，它本来就在那里的嘛哈、哦。那当然，我们先回归到我们凡夫的 level 哈、哦，就说哎，我们这个我们的心，我们要怎么样防护内忧外患？就是要修定十。有十种定的 level 哈，那但是这个非常第二轮哈， 这个十轮里面又第二轮最重要，就是教我们怎么修定。
So for the king chakra, the first group is, remember what it is? It's to protect the boundary, your boundary of the nation, right? And so when it's related to the second Buddha chakra, the first group is to also protect the territory, our pure land. And for Buddhists, what is our territory? Some of you may say the Western pure land, but the territory is really our own mind. And so how do we protect the mind so that it's not polluted by any external enticements? And also, externally, there are all these possible distractions, but also internally, do we also have some sort of trouble as well, chaos? We do. Internally, we have inner conflict with ourselves. So how do we, according to this second Buddha chakra, protect our mind, our territory? And we do that by practicing samadhi, cultivating samadhi. That is the way to protect our heart, our mind. Where is our mind? Where is this mind that we're talking about that we have to protect? Again, very soon we're going to have this talk about Sargama, and where we'll talk about the seven marks of the mind. And remember in the Surigama Sutra, Buddha asked Ananda, where is your mind? And Ananda attempted seven different kind of answers. And I personally think it's actually quite good already that he came up with seven answers. For us ordinary people, we probably can only think of two or three possibilities. So is the mind inside? Is the mind outside? Is the mind somewhere in between? So the sutra went into details refuting each of these views. For ordinary sentient beings, we tend to think the mind is inside. Oh, my mind feels hurt by such a X, Y, Z, this and that. But for Buddha, where is the Buddha's mind? The Buddha's mind is actually everywhere. It permeates all empty space. So in that kind of space, there's no more need to protect the mind because it's already there originally. It's not something that you don't need to protect it. That's the state of the Buddha. But when it comes to, again, us, ordinary sentient beings, we need to protect our mind, and we do so by practicing samadhi. And in this second chapter, there are different 10 different kinds of methods that was proposed as a way to practice, cultivate samadhi.
好，假设呢，我们是一个善根深厚的人，就是修定，我们就得解脱了，离三界之苦，离这个娑婆这个六道轮回之苦，我们就解脱了。但是有多少人可以这样啊？我们的善根就不厚不够，对不对？然后我们还有很多业障拖着我们，对不对？挡着我们，对不对？然后呢，这个时候呢，就是在一片本来是一个心地，你可以解脱之后，你不行，你得休息一下，你得要有一个那个什么必应的地方，好，就是当你的心力不够，当你的修持力、精进力各方面资粮不够的时候，你没办法一下子冲出去的时候呢，你就得有一个休息的地方，就要有一个什么？佛陀教我们习诵，就诵经吧，诵经念佛，当成是我们的，好，像我有一次打禅机。起烦恼，师父就叫我念佛，方法用不了了嘛，我要想要修定慧啊，可是那时候真的很烦恼一件事情，烦恼到我没有办法用方法的时候，师父说念佛，你们大概有一些人也有这样的状况，要不然就拜佛拜忏，有没有？就是习诵。好，当我们修定不得力的时候呢，你就要退一步，找个好像屋檐下面休息一下，拜佛念佛啦，诵经啦，这样子。
For people with very deep and sharp roots capacity to cultivate, they can just practice samadhi and immediately reach liberation. But how many of such people are there among us? Maybe not many. And that is because our capacity for cultivation is not very deep or strong. And also we have all sorts of karmic obstructions that comes in our ways. So in our path of practice, there are times where we don't have enough energy, or that we don't have enough resources, power. We don't have enough power. We don't have enough merit and virtues, or enough resources to continue our a very vigorous type of study, practice. So in these cases, then the Buddha proposed that try to provide another method, which is to study and establish the karmic wheel of studying and recitation. And this is sort of like, you can see it as a shade. When you're walking on the long path, a shade where you can rest a little bit and recuperate a little bit. So I remember when I was practicing intensely meditation, and there, I came to a block that I couldn't get through. And it was so significant that I could not use my method. I was stuck on the question, the problem. So Shifu at that time told me, recite the Buddha's name. Use that as your practice. And I'm sure some of you may have received similar advice before, where you couldn't get through some sort of obstacles in your samadhi practice, and that's when you start reciting Buddha's name, prostrate, and repent. This is a way for us to sort of recuperate our power in order to further our practice.
好，那再一个哈，就是再更不行了哈，就是说连念佛也念不起来哈，又不了不能起惭愧心的哈，这要怎么办？迎福要修福，好，这是第三个，好，就要你要怎么，就是为大众服劳役嘛，哈，要去这个向机组帮忙嘛，哈，所以就是说，这样以上就是这三个 scope 哈，就是三个面向是佛陀的教化事业。那我们接下去会讲的比较更细一点，哈。
So, the third level is that sometimes even reciting the Buddha's names or repenting.That still doesn't work, that you couldn't focus on the recitation and you couldn't generate a true sense of repentance. So in those situations, how do you still continue your practice? That you have to then cultivate merit, by volunteering, doing services for other people, maybe go to the kitchen and work in the kitchen and cultivating your merits in order to then later on further your practice. So these are the basic three scopes.That Buddha had taught how he teaches Dharma in this world.
Okay, 那接下去因为时间的关系哈，我呢下一次呢我们要开始讲，就是讲佛陀哈的修定的业轮里面，这就是这个佛陀的教化事业的三个 scope。那其中呢，第一个是修定的业轮，那方法非常的具体，而且非常多哈，几乎都把佛教主要的方法也这原始佛教的主要方法有讲出来哈。但是我先提一下，修定的业轮呢，有你的修定的层次有十种，好，但是呢，共外道的有八种，那佛教不共外道的有两种哈，大家应该还蛮熟悉的哈，就是四禅八定有听过吗哈？
So, because of time limitation that, we can't go into this further, but next time I'm going to go into the practice cultivation of samadhi more specifically. And in the sutra, the Buddha actually, was very specific and outlined 10 different levels of practice. And most of you are probably quite familiar with these 10 different levels already.
Ten
different levels of samadhi. And it actually is very specific and embodies most of the teachings and methods that's being used, to practice, samadhi. And there are basically eight
common to all the
eight levels. 8 levels of samadhi practice that is common and shared with non-Buddhists or people that practice outer path. But the ultimate, the most supreme two, is not common. That is specific to Buddhist practice.
Okay. So, 所以呢，这个四禅八定，好，是共外道的，好，那它的前面是属于色界定的，好，它有初禅、二禅、三禅、四禅，然后呢，无色界的，好，有空无边处定，好，是无边，然后无所有处，非想非非想处定，好，这是。另外就是无色定，前面是这个是这个有色的哈，这是色界的，然后这个是无色界的定，好，这是共外道的。
So the first eight is common and shared, but with other non-Buddhist practices, and which are the first four, which is the Rupa Jhana, and they are the first, second, third, fourth level, four levels, and also the second.Four levels are the Arupa Jhanas, which are the dimensions of infinite space, dimensions of infinite consciousness, dimension of nothingness, and dimensions of neither perception nor non-perception. So these eight are shared by non-Buddhist practitioners.
然后你看它，你光看它的名字哈，常常有时候会听到啊，很多人形容他们禅修的境界，其实这都还是在定。都是还只是修定，都还没有得解脱，也没有得慧哈，所以不要轻易觉得自己是开悟了哈，得解脱哈。这你失去你超越了时空的这个界限，超越了事的辨别的境界，也都还是在四禅八定里面哈，都还在定中哈，不是解脱哈，就是不要以为自己什么开悟见性，常常这样子讲哈，这就是变成是外道哈。
So just by looking at the names of these different stages, you can sort of relate this to oftentimes people talk about the kind of attainment they have when they meditate. And oftentimes the kind of attainments they have are merely associated with these eight stages. So don't be so hasty in claiming that you have reached.Liberation or have obtained great wisdom already. Those are oftentimes these various, even if you have departed from consciousness, that's still within these first eight levels. That is not true liberation.
然后最后就是要提大家要记住这个好，佛教不共外道的禅定，一个是灭尽定，一个是守楞严定。好，这样总共加起来十种定嘛，好，前面有八定，对不对？好。共外道的后面的佛教的不共外道，一个是灭尽定，说连第八层次的定都没有了，叫做受想灭尽定，叫我们简称是灭尽定。只有阿那含跟阿罗汉三国跟四国的圣人才会证到这个。好，然后最后当然就是佛的定，叫做守楞严定，就是一切诸定的总和。好，让大家要清楚。
And very quickly, the last two are the ones that's not shared by other non-Buddhists. So it's only specific to Buddhist, which are the Naroda Samapatti. And this kind of samadhi is only attained by Anagami and Arhats. So the third and fourth level of Arhatships.They are the only ones that can attain this, at least you have to reach these levels to attain this Naroda Samapatti. And the last one is the Samadhi of Buddha, which is Suragama Samadhi.
Okay, 好，那就是大家可以知道说这部经里面有提到十种定，好，那也让大家知道一下，就次第禅定的过程，你会经过四禅八定，然后它还不究竟。那我们佛教的教导是怎么样？超越四禅八定之后的灭尽定，哈，还有是守楞严定，是我们在讲地藏三经的地藏经的系列的时候一直提到的守楞严定，哈，也是楞严经在讲的，哈，也是阿难问佛。 佛陀的问题，怎么收修守楞严定，所以这个部分就是大家有个概念。那下一次的时候呢，我们就要开始呢讲在 这一品里面呢第二轮讲修定业轮的时候呢佛陀提供的不同的方法。
So as a quick recap, these 10 levels of samadhi practice is outlined in the sutra. And again, the first 8 are shared and common to other non-Buddhist practitioners. It's only the last 2 that is our true focus and our true goal. And this Supreme Suragama Samadhi is the one that we have been talking about in our process of discussing the 3 Chittigarbha Bodhisattva Sutras, as well as if that's the focus of the Suragama Sutra, that is what Ananda was asking the Buddha. That's what they're trying to get at. So that is the ultimate goal of our practice, the Suragama Samadhi. And so starting next time, we're going to go into specific methods of practice that is delineated in the second chakra.
那主要呢，整个修定定业的修定的方法里面呢，主要的一个方法是熟习，好，入出习惯，好啊。如果你们有空哈，去读一下继承法师的六妙门，好，这是非常重要的一个方法，好，前方便方法，它整个铺陈下来，中间的这个核心就是出入习惯，然后讲到六妙门，好，然后如果有时间，大家可以去读，因为我下一次好像不知道什么时候，忘记了，10月，好，那今天就先讲到这里，我们来回向，
So the one of the method is of that we're going to discuss specifically closely next time is the contemplation of inhale and exhale, and that is one of the most foundational in terms of cultivation of samadhi. And if you're interested, the next talk isn't until October, I believe, or no, September. So if you're interested, I highly encourage you to first read the 6 Wondrous Gate, that is the commentary of the 6 Wondrous Gate, commentary by Master Ji Chen, and it will give you a more detailed and more in-depth view of this practice of contemplating inhale and exhale.
那英文呢，可以去查一下智怡Master 智怡的这个看有没有这个翻译。
And the gate of the 6 Wondrous Gate was initially written by Master Zhiyi. So for the English speakers, you can try to Google it and see if there's a translation of translated work by Master Zhiyi.
Zhiyi. Okay.
Z-H-I-Y-I.
Yeah.